Welcome to the Global Missions Inc. podcast. This week's episode features Trevor Sunbow with a message on foot washing.
I am going to go through a little bit of teaching on foot washing because I don't have a good sense here of who has never been in a foot washing service, who's been in one but it was 20 years ago, and who's maybe some have been in them recently. A lot of what I'm going to be saying today comes from three articles. Two of them were written by Brother Hinchliffe, and one of them was written by Brother Berg. I'm pulling from those articles in what I'm saying here today. But if you were to do a Google search on foot washing, you would get a wide spectrum of comments. You would get some that would say, hey, that was part of the culture in Christ's day, and it is not necessary in 2023. You would get some other comments that say, hey, this is basically an act of humility, but there are many other ways to demonstrate humility, so foot washing is not necessary in 2023. You'll get some other comments that say, you know, the scripture kind of says that you should be doing it, but I don't know if it's that important, so it's optional. You can do it if you want, and it's okay if you don't do it. And you will find some, right, some groups that will say, that I will say that seem to be, at least in the comments, seem to be practicing it in some fashion. They say, hey, it's pretty clear in the scriptures that Christ asked us to do this, so we're doing it. And we fall into that category. So if we look at this, okay, and I'll be honest here, to be honest, transparent as I can be, it's a little bit weird. Fair? It's a little bit awkward. It's a little bit uncomfortable. It is not really possible to wrap our minds around it and make sense of it. Or at least it's not possible for me to wrap my natural mind around it and make sense of it. And I'll just say this, that the anticipation of it is weird and awkward and uncomfortable, but when you're actually doing it, it is not. It isn't, all that gets wiped away when you're actually participating in it. So why is it not possible to wrap our minds around it? It is a spiritual experience. It is an experience in the spiritual realm, and we must enter into it by faith. So if we read the passage of Scripture in John 13, it's 1 to 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, and therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." The scripture says, "You also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." This doesn't strike me as optional. We are instructed by Christ to do it. The New King James Version says this, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So my thinking is simply this, or part of my thinking. If God is holding out a blessing for us, let's grab it. Let's grab it. We want the abundance of God's blessing on our homes and our local assemblies, and let's enter into this. By the Spirit, foot washing does something that nothing else can do, because God has established it. And when we enter into it in faith, we receive the full blessing that God has for us. In one of Brother Hinchliffe's articles on foot washing, and I'll just touch on it briefly here, the article does a much better job of this. He connects the New Testament practice of foot washing to the tabernacle in the Old Testament and the priests entering their service. So I'm just going to read this. "The priests were completely washed when they entered the priesthood," Exodus 29. "This is a type of water baptism as taught in the New Testament. This washing was for the cleansing of the flesh, as is water baptism in the New Testament. It is truly a cleansing of the flesh or carnal nature by burial and resurrection." And we will experience that later this week. Then he goes on to say, "On subsequent occasions, when the priests entered the tabernacle to minister, they were instructed to wash their hands and their feet. A complete washing was no longer necessary. They just had to wash their hands and feet. This was a representation of our practice of foot washing." God has invested power in the laying on of hands, which we know. By the Spirit, he has given us the power to cleanse one another's feet by washing. It is Christ who dwells within, by whose authority we lay on hands and wash one another's feet. Let me say that again. It is Christ who dwells within us, by whose authority we lay on hands and wash one another's feet. We must get this point. In the scriptures that I just read in John 13, at first Peter doesn't want Christ to wash his feet. Then Christ corrects him and says, "If you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part in me." Then Peter says, "Okay, wash my whole body. Wash my head and my hands and everything." Jesus told him then that it was all that was needed was to have his feet washed. The same is true of us. We have been washed in water baptism and are clean, except that from time to time we need our feet washed. Many people, like Peter, feel they need a complete washing when all that is required is that one of their brethren or sister wash their feet and impart his cleansing. And this is, again, this is a direct quote from Brother Hinsdale's article. By walking in this age, it seems difficult to resist its contamination. Try as we may to keep from being squeezed into its mold, it sometimes leaves its mark on us. So, by the touch of the person who washes your feet, the accumulated contamination, or I prefer the word influence, or influence of life, can be washed away. This is what God had in mind when he established this practice in the church. It is a way in which we can minister one to another, and it helps us to realize our dependency on each other. So why is this important? I've got a few points here that I'm going to share. Why is this important? My first point is the most important one, okay? Or I believe it's the most important one. We operate in the world. We hear things, we see things, maybe we participate in things, and the influence of the world attaches itself to us. And our thinking, it attaches itself to our thinking as well. And a foot washing service cleanses the influence of the world from us. And it draws us back closer to the Lord. Our thinking, our actions, what we see, what we hear, our decisions are sometimes influenced by the world. I believe that to be true. And a foot washing service cleanses that away. And in the way I think of it, we kind of start fresh again. It refocuses us in our walk with the Lord. So that, I believe, is, I got a few other points here, but that I believe is the most, that is the reason we do it. That is the reason we do it. Because whether I like it or not, and it's not my intent to be influenced by the world, nor is it yours, but it happens. Because we're living in the world. We're seeing things, we're hearing things. We get influenced, and we don't even realize it. And a foot washing service cleanses that away. Praise the Lord. Some other reasons why we do it. We enter into humility, unity, and peace. Another good reason to do it. We've heard a lot about this in the day and a half. I don't think you can have a foot washing service and not recognize the Christ in one another. I don't think it's possible. And we've heard a lot about that in the prophecies. Brian spoke about it yesterday. We recognize the Christ in one another. It is Christ who dwells within, by whose authority we lay on hands and wash one another's feet. Another point, which I like this one, we demonstrate our love for our Heavenly Father by being obedient to the Scriptures. On this particular point, if we just can't get our head around foot washing, we just can't do it. This point to me is saying, hey, I don't understand it. I don't really get it. But I can read in the scriptures and it says that we should do it. So I will be obedient and I will do it and I will demonstrate my love for you. I don't remember which article it was in, but one of them said that it was either Brother Hinchcliffe or Brother Berg, but they had witnessed healing in a foot washing service. And I don't remember which article it was or where it was, but it was specifically identified that they had seen healing happen in a foot washing service. The one thing we talked about earlier is that there may be a, and I'm going to say a misconception, that if I'm going to, my brother Jeff here, if I'm going to wash his feet, I have got something against Jeff. There's some sort of tension or conflict between us. And that is not the case. That is not the case. Right? If there happens to be some tension there, that can be wiped away too, right? But that's not why we're doing a foot washing service, right? Have I made that clear? We're doing a foot washing service to wipe away the influence of the world upon our lives. That is why we're doing the foot washing service. But a side benefit, if there is tensions between us, right, those will be wiped away too. Brother Hinchcliffe says, allow the Holy Spirit to move upon you as you wash one another's feet, and great things will be accomplished. And great things will be accomplished tonight. Before I get into some practical matters here, there's one email that I'd like to read. And this is from Brother Andy Snoke. He sent this around in 2012. So I'm just reading it now. This is Brother Andy. We had a foot washing service as part of the morning service here in India this bright and warm Sunday morning, January 8th, 2012. It is a humbling experience to have another wash your feet and then to wash the feet of someone else. As I washed the dark, rough-skinned feet of my brother in the Lord, I realized in the natural we have nothing in common. We speak different. We look different. Our taste for food comes from opposite ends of the spectrum. But in the spirit, we are united with a bond that only comes from the throne of God. I washed his feet. He washed my feet. And we prayed for one another that God would place his mighty presence on each of us. The Apostle John reported the foot washing as follows from John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured the water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Think of it. The Master, God in Christ himself, the one that created all that is, even time itself, stooped to the ground and washed the dirty feet of the disciples. The Creator, who glittered the heavens with his stars, showed his love for the disciples by taking the position of a servant and washed the disciples' feet. This entire drama that unfolded the night that Jesus was betrayed speaks of his unfailing love for us, his humility, and our great need to have the stain of the earth washed clean by the hands of the Master. I thought of Jesus loving his own until the end, as I poured the little ladle of water over the feet of my Indian brother, I sat in humility as I watched my brother, who is far more honorable than I, lovingly pour the water over my feet as if I were Christ himself. And isn't that what it is all about? That we stoop to wash one another's feet during a foot washing ceremony. Aren't we in reality washing the feet of Jesus who resides in our brother or sister? Humbling it is. So that's all I have on the teaching. Is that okay? Is that okay? I have a few more practical points here if you just bear with me. So participation. This is a wonderful experience. And for those of you who haven't experienced it before, you have something to look forward to. So we would encourage as much participation as is possible, okay? But you do not have to participate. We are not forcing you to sit down and wash your feet, right? It's voluntary. So, and it's okay if you said, you know what, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for it. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. Next time, maybe you will be ready for it. But that's okay. But we would encourage you to observe and watch. So be there in prayer, reverently, as it's happening. And you can watch if you're not feeling comfortable with it. If you don't feel to participate, there's no judgment, right? It's okay. We would ask you to be in prayer, though, while the foot washing service is going on. So, I have age limits on at my notes here. And so, I don't know how to approach this, but I want to give you a reference point from our family. Okay? And so, the parents here with children, I want, just listen to me here now. So, I'm going to explain how it worked with Candace and I as our kids grew up. So when our kids were really, really young, in Regina, our assembly, we have a main floor where the chapel is, and then we have a basement where we would do the foot washing services when we have them there. And so when our kids were really young, I would stay upstairs and watch the kids because they were too young to sit still and sit reverently. So I was upstairs with them. And then Candace would participate in the foot washing service downstairs. When she was done, she would come up, spell me off, and I would go down and participate in the foot washing service. That's how we alternated. Is that, if I can describe it that way? So that's when they were young, really young. When they got a little bit older and a bit more mature, where we felt they could sit reverently without being disruptive in the foot washing service, they sat and they watched. Okay, they didn't participate. They sat and they watched. Still, didn't jumping around, right? They were reverently and they sat. Then when they got a little bit older, and I asked Candace, we can't exactly remember here how old they were, but let's say they were 12 or 13. And we asked them, would you like to participate? And I remember this. They said, no, we're good. We'll just watch. I said, okay. Okay, that's fine. Right? The next time it happened, we asked them again. No, we're good. We'll just watch. I said, okay. Yeah, no pressure. That's fine. And then the next time we asked them, they said, yeah. Yes, we're going to participate. And I don't know how old they were, if they were 14, if they were 15, probably 14, somewhere in there. And they were ready to participate. So parents, can I leave it there? Somebody say yes or no. Do I need to give an age limit?
No.
Okay. So you are the best judge of your children and whether they should participate or not. Okay, so let me just continue here with a few points. So the way we do it, men and women are separated. So the men, they're separated. They wash men's feet. Women wash women's feet. you do not have to wash more than one person's feet, but if there's an odd number, somebody has to do it twice, right? But you can wash more than one person's feet, okay? You can do it more than once. You don't have to, but you could if the Spirit is leading you that way. While you were washing their feet, okay, you're praying for them. And you may even ask them before you start, say, hey, is there anything that you specifically would like me to pray about? And then you're led by the Spirit and you're praying for them. And so you'll do this on your own. It'll come to you as you're praying. But you might be asking for God's richest blessing upon them and their family. You're certainly praying that the influence of the world will be washed away from them and they can draw closer unto the Lord. You might pray that the person, whoever it is, might enter into his ministries in a greater measure. Right? Whatever you're feeling by the Spirit to pray, you'll be praying for them as you're washing their feet. So you're not washing their feet for half an hour, right? That's too long, you know? So it's a few minutes, you know? It's not a long time. You say your prayer, you wash their feet, dry their feet, and then take turns, and then you may wash someone else's feet after that, if the Lord leads you that way. If there's an odd number, somebody's got to do it twice though, right? Like we're in agreement there. The other thing we'll ask is if you could remember tonight in prayer, if it comes to mind that it, you know, that the Lord's richest blessing will rest upon us. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. We thank you so much for what you are doing in our hearts, that pleasing in your sight. We want to be led by your Spirit step by step. And we ask that you would be with us today. We ask that your anointing would be rich upon us tonight. And we just pray that the influence that we all have upon us would be washed away. That we might draw closer unto you. Father, go before us. Help us in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would like more information about the moving of God's Spirit or resources for your spiritual life, please visit our website at www.globalmissionsinc.org.